So tonight I'm going to talk about chakras, the seven chakras. And first thing I'll say, I'll start at the very beginning. What are chakras? In the traditional Western view, the complete human being just has two parts, body and soul. And body is completely physical, and soul is completely immaterial. And it's actually becomes this question, what does one even have to do with the other? It's the so-called philosophical problem of the ghost and the machine. How does something immaterial have any influence on something material? In the East, they had a very different view, and this grew out of the yogic systems, that they called this the gross body, and then they imagined that there were several, what they called subtle bodies, several layers of greater and greater subtlety. And ultimately, in Hinduism, the layers of subtlety would go all the way up to the divinity, that in each one of us has this divinity within us. So the next layer up from the physical body, as it were, you could call it the energy body, the aura, and the major organs, as it were, on this body are the seven chakras. And so I'm just going to talk about the seven chakras. There are some systems where they also talk about minor chakras on the body. There are some systems where they talk about additional chakras above the head or below the feet, below the ground. I'm just going to focus on sort of the basic seven that everyone agrees on. And again, these grew out primarily out of the yogic system. I would say that there's certainly no scientific verification for the chakras. And in fact, I would even say that the principles on which science acts, you know, very much about prove and ascertain and get certainty, that's wonderful for figuring out the physical world. It's not really so wonderful for figuring out things like chakras, where you need more something along the lines of emotional intelligence, relational intelligence, intuition to understand the chakras. And as I talk about each chakra, I'll urge you, just feel into that part of your body and just notice what that part of your body feels like. I'll also say that the one physical part of the body to which the chakras have at least a loose correlation is something called the endocrine system. Most people are a little bit fuzzy on the fact that they even have an endocrine system. But the endocrine system are the glands in the body. And I'm going to start at the top, chakra number seven, and go down to chakra number one. So chakra number seven, sometimes called the crown chakra, and is thought to exist right at the top of the head. So the very, very top of the head. And there are different ways to visualize the chakras. One way to visualize the chakras is, as it were, kind of a cone of energy coming out of the body. And the crown chakra, in many ways, is about our connection to spirit. Connection to, you know, a Christian would say connection to God. A Buddhist might say our connection to Dharma and to spiritual teaching. It's our connection to a what you might call a higher pattern of spiritual meaning. And so people who have this chakra very open live in a world that feels meaningful. And they live in a world where it feels like things happen for a reason. And they see their own life within a larger pattern of meaning. People who have this chakra closed have lots of doubts about, you know, what is this religion stuff? What is spirituality? Is there really a God? You know, that sort of thing. And in fact, most of those people, unfortunately, they just get stuck in their head. They don't get up to the seventh chakra. And of course, if you're in your head, anything in words and in thoughts is not going to get to the sacred. You're going to miss the boat. And so if the seventh chakra is closed, then there's no way you can think your way into it. Certainly experiences, any kind of experience that opens us up in with a sense of wonder with a sense of awe is nourishing for the seventh chakra. You know, and so for many people, just spending time in nature, for example, or spending time, you know, watching a beautiful sunset or standing in front of the ocean, something like that. Just anything that gives us a sense of being part of a larger picture, part of a larger pattern. That can be very nourishing. And certainly, even just the practice of silence can be very nourishing to the seventh chakra. So I'd say one of the things that I'm kind of interested in this talk is how would we say yes in every chakra? And a yes in the seventh chakra, I would very much describe as almost a humble acceptance of one's life as part of a larger pattern of meaning. And it's almost like the Christian, you know, thy will be done, or the Virgin Mary says, you know, behold the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done to me according to thy word. Something like that, that very humble submission almost to the will of the sacred, however, or to the Dharma, however we imagine that. The seventh chakra is associated with a gland that is not very well understood, the pineal gland, which is a gland way up somewhere in the middle of our brain, way up in the top of our head. The pineal gland at times has been called the seat of the soul. We know that the pineal gland, it basically has three products. When our eyes are exposed to light, it makes serotonin, which wakes us up. When it gets dark outside, then it makes melatonin, which makes us go to sleep. And it also makes this chemical DMT in very small amounts. DMT is a chemical that we can also synthesize it. And if you take DMT, it actually has hallucinogenic effects. And in fact, I've never taken it myself, but I've talked to some people who have taken it, and they describe it as almost like a temporary enlightenment experience while you're on it. And so we don't really, you know, there's lots of questions about, you know, in terms of brain chemistry, is there such a thing as enlightenment? What is enlightenment? Is it, you know, but one possibility that's been suggested is that in certain brain states, the pineal gland goes into an overproduction of DMT, and it actually produces this kind of blissed out experience of the world. So just, you know, a possibility, we don't know. Chakra number 6, the brow chakra, right here, this is where Hindu women wear the bindu, sometimes called the third eye. This is very much associated with certainly mental states and thinking, but subtler powers include intuition, even things like clairvoyance, all sorts of subtle sorts of seeing, as well as just plain mental energy. I would say that, well, first of all of the chakras along the body, one way to visualize it, there's sort of a cone in the front of the body and a cone in the back of the body. The back is very much a will center, and it's about the power to bring one's thoughts into action, to take one's ideas and make them tangible, make them work in the world. Some people have an extraordinary gift for that. Some people are, you know, they're stuck up here with all the thoughts and they can't make any of it work. I'll say another way to think of the chakras, incidentally, it's almost like a solar system with the heart at the center. And so there's sort of a connection symmetrically around the heart. And so the sixth chakra, in some ways, has a profound connection with the second chakra. And really, how can I say, if you're in touch with your sixth chakra and not in touch with your second chakra, you're going to have this very, like, brainy, ungrounded experience of life, you know. The sixth chakra is associated with the pituitary gland, which is right here at the bottom of the brain. It's called the master gland. It's the gland that runs all the other glands. Very important gland. It's the clock of all the glands. Incidentally, the clock of the menstrual cycle is actually in the pituitary gland. The third chakra, chakra number five, the throat chakra. So this is a chakra that has to do with our voice, with our expression. You know, how good are you at speaking your truth? How good are you at putting your voice out in the world? How good are you at asking for help when you need help? All of these are fifth chakra skills. They're about putting ourselves into the world through the power of words. And words have extraordinary power. And of course, we can dilute that power. You know, either by talking too much or too little, we're not using the power of words properly. Words have tremendous spiritual energy. And this is actually why in certain spiritual organizations, they actually take vows of silence, really to reserve that power. But notice the power of your words, you know? And there's almost this inverse relationship that if you're talking all the time, your words don't necessarily have a lot of power. But if you can really speak with consciousness and only speak when you have something powerful to say, then your voice carries tremendous power. And so notice how much power is there expressed through your voice, you know? All kinds of interesting questions to associate with the throat chakra. And the throat chakra has this intimate connection with chakra number three. And we'll get to that. The gland here is the thyroid gland, which in fact wraps right around the voice box. The thyroid gland controls our metabolism. So it controls basically the energy level of our body. And that's actually part of our expression. You know, we don't realize this. We express ourselves in our words, but we express ourselves just in our bodily energy and how we move through the world. We're expressing ourselves through our posture, through our facial expressions all the time. The back of this chakra is sometimes called the professional center. It has a lot to do with career and career choices. And if you think about it, a profession is the statement you make, the statement you profess by doing it every day of your life. The thing you do every day of your life is one of the strongest, most powerful statements that you make. You know? And so this gets into the whole idea of right livelihood in Buddhism. You know, what kind of statement are you making with your life? You know? And again, just to consider it, you know, not necessarily right or wrong, good or bad. The fourth chakra, chakra number four, is the heart. And so the heart certainly is associated with compassion, with all kinds of love. The heart is also, I would say, a kind of barometer of authenticity. The heart is where we really have this deep sense of whether something aligns with who we are. You know, is this job right for me? Is this activity right for me? Is this relationship right for me? We feel that in our heart. The back of the heart is a very powerful will center on the body. It's just about getting stuff done. And Barbara Brennan likes to say, you know, if you want to know how the back of the fourth chakra is, just notice as you walk through the world. If you're walking through the world and doors are closing your face and there are obstacles and there are long lines and there are delays and traffic jams and everything else, then that means your fourth chakra is probably closed. When your fourth chakra is open, then it seems like suddenly doors are open and people are helping you get done what you want to get done, you know? And so just to be aware of that, you know, if you're running into lots of obstacles in a day, you know, what's going on in your fourth chakra, you know, and can you just open up and relax a little more into that fourth chakra? The gland associated there, not one of the most popular glands, it's called the thymus gland. Thymus gland actually is an enormously important gland in the function of the immune system. There are white blood cells that mature in the thymus gland, and so they're called T cells. And so the T cells, the thymus gland is almost, as it were, a finishing school for the T cells, and then it communicates with T cells throughout the body. And so it has this enormous coordinating role in the function of the immune system. And certainly, you know, the immune system itself is an extraordinary expression just of our own self-love and self-recognition. You know, the immune system very much has to decide, you know, what cells are me and what cells are not me, you know, that sort of thing. And so a yes in the heart chakra is a yes to love. Do you say yes to love? Do you say yes to compassion? Do you say yes to familial love? Now, of course, that's charged because, you know, people have all kinds of issues and, you know, family of origin, that sort of thing. Do you say yes to friendship? Are there people that you can call true friends? Do you say yes to romantic sexual love? You know, all categories of love. You know, and just notice the feeling in your body. Is there a yes? You know, maybe there's not a yes. That's fine also. But just notice. Do you say yes to who you are? Do you say yes to your own authenticity? Do you make room for your own authenticity in your life? These are all heart chakra questions. So those, I would say, from the heart and above, those you might say are the more, the upper chakras, the more spiritual chakras. Those tend to be the chakras that people come to meditation groups tend to be reasonably open and well-developed in those upper chakras. Then we get into the lower chakras. In the lower chakras, there's a lot of meaty stuff going on in the lower chakras. A lot of early childhood wounding plays out in the energy of the lower chakras. So the third chakra, right here at the solar plexus, sometimes called the solar wheel or the solar chakra, often this is called the power center of the body. And just feel that. Breathe into your solar plexus. Feel that. That feeling in your core. And one very good way to think about what the third chakra does, think about the physical organs here, the organs of digestion. What is digestion? Digestion is the miraculous process where not me becomes me. So I eat food, I eat a bunch of, you know, plants and animals, a bunch of stuff that's not me. My body breaks it down. Some of it, it turns into me. It becomes me. And some of it, my body says, okay, I don't need this, and I get rid of it. So think about all the energies that come at you. All the messages, you need to be this kind of person. You need to be that kind of person. You need to buy this. You need to act this way. All kinds of messages from the media, from culture, all the messages we get from teachers, from parents, from friends, telling us who we are, who we should be. Someone with a very healthy third chakra is able to digest all that well and say, okay, this is something that resonates. I'm going to take this in and make this message part of who I am. This doesn't resonate. I'm just going to let this pass. And so sometimes challenging messages about who we are can come from people who insult us. you know, the person who says, you're just a blankety blank, 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 you know. But of course, usually that insult doesn't land unless in a way we believe it. You know, if there's part of our own self-dialogue that believes that message.
I see you back there. I don't want to displace you. No, you're fine.
Quite all right. If we don't believe it, then usually the insult doesn't land. But if we believe the insult, then it's pointing to some belief that we already have. And of course, any distorted belief that we have from childhood about who we are or what we deserve is going to, as it were, throw off the digestion of this. Like if I'm carrying around this story that I'm not worthy or something, then I'm going to be agreeing with and taking in all these other unhealthy messages that reconfirm that belief, you see? And so that's why it's so hard to be powerful here, because you really have to be very clear on who you are and very clear on a healthy kind of conception. So it's just important to be, just notice how you feel here and notice how people make you feel here. Notice that when you're with certain people, it's kind of yummy in your tummy, and you're with other people and it's like, oh, I don't know about this, you know. Pay attention to that feeling. Very, very important. The back of this chakra is very much associated with self-care. People who are energy healers apparently have very large, you know, backs of their third chakra. And so it's just a question, how much do you show self-care? What are the concrete, tender, wonderful ways that you take care of yourself? What is one thing you can do to take care of yourself better? You know, and just think about that. Suppose every day you did one extraordinarily kind, wonderful thing for yourself. You know. This chakra, the gland with which it's associated, of course, is the pancreas, which is a digestive gland. The second chakra is slightly below the navel, down here in the deep in the pelvic part of the body. This is in Chinese medicine what's known as the Dantian point. It's the center of qi, the center of vital energy. For example, in Tai Chi, all the motion is supposed to come out of this point. And this is very much the chakra about what it feels like to be an animal. Everything about being a human animal. And so it's about how does it feel to dance? How does it feel to exercise? It's all about sexuality. All the activities where we're very much in an animal way of being. And the back of this chakra is very much about our ability to feel pleasure in all those activities, to feel the pleasure, the rush of exercise, to feel the joyous abandon of dance, to feel sexual pleasure. All of that is in the second chakra. The second chakra is very much associated with the water element, and so it's very much associated with how good we are with flow and adaptivity and change. And so someone who's very healthy with that is able to go with the flow. But when there's blocks in the second chakra, then we kind of get like, I don't know. You know, we're not able to go with the flow. The second chakra, very deep. It's formed very early in life. You know, often around, you know, very early childhood periods, toilet training, all that stuff. It's very much associated with what I would call retention-release dynamics. So there's so many ways that retention-release dynamics play out. There are some people who talk all the time, and they can't turn it off. There's other people who never say a word, never say a peep, you know? So it's like completely open, completely closed. There's some people who have big emotions all the time, spilling emotions all over the place all the time. There's some people, no emotions, you know, stone cold. There's some people that spend money all the time. There's some people afraid to spend a dime, you know? And so all of it is, you know, all these different relationships to energy. You know, is it spilling out uncontrollably? Is it blocked up, not flowing at all? People can get stuck in both the, you know, the complete release or the complete block. And of course, health is that ability to turn on and off. Again, to go with that flow, to open in some situations, close in other situations. Much more of a dance with the energy. The glands associated, of course, with the second chakra are the sexual glands, the testes and the ovaries, which produce not only sperm and eggs, but they also produce hormones that affect the whole body, affect how we think and feel. And of course, all those energies, all the energy of testosterone, the energy of estrogen and progesterone, these are really feel-good chemicals of the body. When a lot is flowing through our bodies, we feel good. We feel alive. The final chakra, the root chakra. And so this is at the perineum. So the perineum is between the genitals and the anus, right between the legs, right at the base of the spine, the bottom of the body. And this is a chakra about, it's about being connected to ground. It's about support. How do you provide support to yourself? You know, physically, do you feel grounded? Are you able to generate financial support for yourself? Are you able to generate emotional support for yourself? Are you able to find support? It's about belonging. Do you belong here in this world? Do you belong to life? Do you belong to your own body? All these relationships of deep belonging. Someone with a very healthy root chakra is going to feel very much here, connected, alive in this world. I belong here. Is going to be able to generate support from themselves. Probably is going to have a good tribe around them that can support them in a variety of ways. The gland associated with these are the adrenal glands. And the adrenal glands, when the adrenal glands are activated in stress or in excitement, typically what happens is we get ungrounded. Typically what happens is we get some kind of shock, and then it's like we pull up and we're not grounded anymore. We're not here anymore, you know. We get triggered and all of a sudden I'm not here. I'm off somewhere else, you know, in some past story, something like that, and I'm not here and present. We talked a little about this last week with showing up and the nature of what happens in a shock. And of course, deep presence is someone who's able to remain here through shocking energy, able to still remain present and show up even in that moment of shock. And so a yes in the first chakra is very much a yes of yes to being here, yes to being alive, yes to being a person on the planet, a yes to being human. To be human is to be profoundly vulnerable. Human life is incredibly vulnerable. And a yes in the first chakra is just a yes to all of that. It's almost like, bring it on, life, I'm going to be here for it. You know, so it's enormously courageous yes, a yes in the first chakra. So a few other things I'll say about the chakras. First of all, the seven chakras have what I might call a rough correlation to the seven major religions. You could say that the first chakra is in some ways connected to Confucianism, which is very grounded, very much about here and now and presence and being here in the world. Second chakra certainly is related to aspects of Hinduism, which embraces sacred sexuality. Third chakra, a lot about boundaries and about dietary restrictions also, brings to mind Judaism, which has all kinds of issues with boundaries and tribe and who's here and who's not here and extensive system of dietary restrictions. Christianity, I would call one of the great teachings simply on love. So very much a heart chakra energy. Islam, which is very much concerned with the word and the voice and, you know, Allahu Akbar and the call to prayer and all that, associated with the throat chakra. Buddhism, probably the most intellectual and philosophical of the religions, associated with the brow chakra. And then Taoism, the wordless mystery. And so, kind of a correlation, a rough correlation. I would say also that in my experience, a lot of people in the Bay Area, especially people who do yoga and meditation classes, a lot of people that do this kind of spiritual work, tend to be more well-developed in the upper chakras, very open in the upper chakras, and not necessarily very powerful in the lower chakras. And often for people like us, you know, a lot of spiritual work has to do with getting more into the body, more into groundedness and passion and all that. And in fact, I even have this theory that one thing that kind of plays out in our country right now is that I think liberals, especially Bay Area liberals, tend to be people that are more developed in their upper chakras and not necessarily in their lower chakras, and vice versa for some conservatives. And I think it's one of the many reasons. Now, there's many other things playing out in that landscape also, but I think it's one of the reasons that when liberals and conservatives talk, they're missing each other entirely. You know, it's not, they're not even having the same conversation. I would say that it is enormously important for those of us who are more open in upper chakras, it is enormously important to open up fully all the lower chakras, to bring these spiritual messages, these messages of love and equality and patience and joy and all this, to bring it down into the world in a tangible, powerful way. That's what the world needs. The world needs spiritual messages brought down to where the rubber meets the road. So, I don't have any handouts today, but I did bring some books and some other materials. I will pass out, first of all, I brought some cards from Alex Gray. And so I will pass out, he has this wonderful... Here we go. Here's the card associated with the auric body, the chakra system. He calls it the psychic energy system. So I'll pass this around and you can take a look. I am told, I don't have the sight of energy healing, but I know an energy healer who said when she saw Alex Gray's pictures, she said, "Oh my God, that man is painting what I see." And I'll say also, just notice this week as you go through your life, how do these different parts of your body feel when you're in different situations, when you're with friends, when you're with people you don't like so much? How do these different places in you feel? A lot of intuition and a lot of spiritual wisdom is just about listening to all these levels. Sometimes we get very stuck in our head and what the head and what we should think and what we should feel and blah, blah, blah. What do you feel in your heart? What do you feel in your gut? What do you feel down in your core? You know, and just to notice all these feelings, because it's very powerful if you can act aligned from all those energies at once. A lot of times we get ourselves into trouble because we're following what the head thinks we should be doing, and we're kind of selling out our awareness of our other energies. I'll just put out a bunch of books. This is more of a very traditional Hindu take, and this sort of talks about the, the deities. This is chakras by Harish Johari. You know, what gods are in various centers. And so I'll just have some of these books out you can look at later. This book I do want to recommend for if you don't know the chakras well, The Sevenfold Journey by Anodia Judith and Selena Vega. This is an incredibly practical book. It goes through every chakra and it just recommends meditations you can do, physical exercises you can do, all kinds of practical things you can do to feel the energy of that chakra. And so it's a wonderful guide just if you want to explore the chakras in a more experiential way, which I think is actually much more valuable than exploring it in a purely theoretical way, because that just feeds the head and then you don't go anywhere else. These are two classics of energy healing, both by Barbara Brennan, Hands of Light and Light Emerging. And they have some wonderful diagrams and pictures in here about, you know, the various chakras and all kinds of information and some exercises you can do. Those are quite wonderful if you're interested in learning more about energy healing. And then finally, this is the same artist with that card, Alex Gray, who has this series called The Sacred Mirrors. And he has all these paintings where he's showing the physical body as well as the energy body. It's very interesting, actually. He studied tremendously. My understanding is that all the bones and muscles and blood vessels are up to Western medical standards. The acupuncture meridians are up to Chinese medical standards. And then he also has the energy fields.